murder which is sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
The world ended. Didn't you get the memo?
They're dead. And you're gonna be next.
Wake up. Time to die.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon. And stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we get back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
You never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
My own brother, a goddamn shit-up ambassador. Will you wait till Mom finds out, buddy?
Detail, I guess, I forgot to mention. You die, you lose.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ, who's here.
Yes, I'm alive. I'm not drowning. For once, thank goodness. My gosh. Yeah. It's been a hell of a couple of weeks, I can tell you that much.
Oh, I believe it. What's the area like now? Has the flooding gone down?
Well, that's the good news. Is where I live, Florence proper, didn't get much. It's a completely different story once you get outside the city. But good news is a lot of the waters have receded now, and a lot of the damage can be seen. So we're now in rebuild mode around here, which is great news.
Yeah, I was worried that you might have gotten hit, but it sounded like you were pretty much out of the way, and that's the good part. And did you hear the music episode I put up?
I did. It was good.
And
thank you for that.
And I put in there about how people can donate to the South Carolinas to help them out.
Yes, there's still some areas that are hardest hit that still need some help. So give freely to them, please. I know the city of Columbia is still a little at the moment. They just, matter of fact, I think it was Friday, they just finally had their water boil advisory lifted. And you think that's the capital city of the state.
Yeah.
And so they have a pretty good sewer system. But, I mean, when every dam in the city's basically breached, difficult.
That's kind of a problem.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that most of the state, when you come to the Atlantic Ocean side of Columbia, is mostly swampland. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So we flood pretty easily.
Okay.
But on that note, Netflix and chill.
So.
Oh, it's good to be back, though. It's good to be back with American Horror Story and The Walking Dead on television.
Oh, I still keep missing it. I'm sorry. But I am caught up on Walking Dead season 5.
Good.
I did catch up on all of Freak Show. I know you lost interest before the end of the season of Freak Show, but I followed it to the end. I'm like, what?
But you know what? I went back and that's going to be one of our main topics today is Netflix, which you can get basically October being a Christmassy time for horror fans, which you can watch on Netflix. But, I went back and I watched the whole season again, and I think at the time we were expecting one thing and ended up getting another, and then I watched it again and it was just brilliant. I really at the time was being unfair to Freak Show. I think it was the second best season they've had.
Yeah, it was way more twisted than their other ones. I just, wow. And Elsa, she seemed so jealous all the time. I didn't realize she was such a jealous person of any of her freaks if they outshined her a little bit.
Oh, of course.
Especially the twins. She just seemed to want to get rid of them.
Which was great, because I think we all want to get rid of her. But, Sarah Paulson, I mean. But, we're two episodes in already on Hotel. And I'm loving it.
Oh, good. It looked... Oh my god, I don't know. It looks so good.
It is. It's Lady Gaga is a vampire.
She's a vampire.
She's a vampire.
Oh yeah, it's fucking awesome.
It's just so, it's just so amazing. So, check it out. I'm not going to spoil anything. I think everybody knows by now that she's a vampire. So, not really spoiling anything.
Just a little bit, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's good to know what I'm looking for.
Yeah. See, that's my only complaint, is that, like, I pay for Netflix and Hulu, and I can't watch American Horror Story the next day. I have to go to some website.
Yeah. I know. One that will let you watch it without a cable provider.
Well, not even that. Just let you watch it, period.
Really?
Yeah. You can't watch it on Netflix or Hulu.
Well, no, I know you can't watch it on Netflix, but really, Hulu can't get it?
No, Hulu does not have the next day option with that. They don't have the next day option with a lot of FX shows, so.
They need to get, like, the CW. The CW, you can watch it the next day.
Oh,
like,
I know.
If you've missed.
How do you think I watch Supernatural?
Episode. Yeah, the new episodes of Supernatural. Woo! Oh my God!
Just a memo to the CW.
The darkness.
No, I was gonna say just a memo to the CW. Enough with the Vampire Diaries already. Okay, we don't need 50. We don't need 50 shows of the Vampire Diaries.
Well, the Vampire Diaries has gotten interesting because Mystic Falls no longer belongs to the people. It's now run by the heretics, and everyone was evacuated out of town. So, and because now there's a fight between the Salvatore brothers and their mom, and she took Elena's body. I mean, it's just a big mess. I'm just like,
that sounds like
really?
Fun.
Oh, come on.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah,
not really. But it sounds.
I was
like
more
fun.
Interested in Supernatural because Crowley. He's Father Crowley in a couple of episodes.
Oh my.
He's dressed up as a priest and he's helping the darkness. At least he's helping to feed her now. Because she was reborn and she eats souls. So she needs souls to survive.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, some of us don't have Father Crowley to feed us.
Exactly. Yeah, and Walking Dead seems to be very interesting.
What's up?
We now officially know that Alexandria is run by a bunch of buffoons, to say the least. They are weak, and Rick is trying to shepherd them. But the season premiere was last Sunday, and spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it yet: we have found the new problem for Alexandria, and it is about 500,000 zombies.
Oh, shit.
I'm not even making this up. There is a little ravine outside of Alexandria where it looks like a lot of people were in D.C. and around D.C. were evacuated to that didn't quite make it.
500,000 of them?
There's a lot. And the parade that's going on right now, there was actually a zombie parade.
A parade,
a zombie parade, as Rick's idea was to basically parade the zombies away from Alexandria.
Did it work?
Well, there was a slight hitch in the giddy up at the end of the episode. Somebody was blowing a horn.
Oh, damn those idiots.
And it probably wasn't anybody in Alexandria. Yeah.
They should know by now that sound and noise attracts those suckers.
Well, there just seems to be a little group that knows that all too well.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. As in, a lot of the speculation is that it's the wolves doing it.
Huh, okay.
But we don't know that yet. Because
nope.
Literally the episode ended with nothing but.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you'd like for me to do that again, press 1 now.
Nope.
Yeah, that was probably the most annoying end ever to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, just, that would drive me nuts if I saw it.
Just literally like 2 or 3 minutes of nothing but at the end.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it gets your attention.
Yeah, it was great. It was great, though. It builds up the tension for this week. And, we're teased. And let me just speak on this, because it was really interesting to watch this episode because the flashbacks are all in black and white.
Oh, they are.
they're all in black and white. All the flashbacks, because basically the storyline is, and yes, I'm going to completely spoil it for nobody who's seen it. although by the time you've seen this, you've seen the second episode of the season, I hope. So we pick it up at this ravine where literally there are 500,000 zombies. And that's probably a conservative estimate. And everything's in color, and Rick is about to execute the plan, and then it cuts to black and white. And it goes back to that night where the last season ended.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right back to that last scene where Morgan shows up.
And he goes, Rick?
Rick?
Okay.
And then it cuts to the next morning. They're digging up... They're trying to dig a grave for the abuser. Even the mayor of Alexandria. And by the way, if you don't know yet, the mayor of Alexandria's husband had his throat slashed, so he's gone too. But he got to be buried inside of Alexandria. He got to be buried inside. Our doctor friend didn't. Uh-oh. Our doctor friend got banished. Even after he's dead, he got banished. Oh. So they took him out, and this is how they found the ravine. They took him out, and were going to bury him behind this tree, and they just happened to look over at this ravine. And, oh, by the way, yeah, there's a ton of zombies down there. You know, just your average ravine blocked by trucks with a ton of zombies. So it was kind of funny.
Oh, jeez.
Now, this is how they found the ravine. It wasn't just by... them digging things up and just go looking around. The oldest son of the doctor was obviously, you know, he's a little loyal to daddy, got a little pissy, and wanted to know where daddy was going to be buried. Slight problem. He ends up getting chased by zombies.
Of course.
So, he heads out to where they are. The zombies start attacking, and Rick tackles the kid. And just about that time, just like on Looney Tunes, it's an episode of Lemmings. Zombies just go marching off the side.
Oh, jeez.
Splat! And that's when they noticed, oh, look, there's a whole bunch of zombies.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So anyways, they try to execute this plan, and who we perceive to be the wolves is blowing horns at the end. And, oh, by the way, it needs to be mentioned that technically AMC's Fear Fest starts with the showing of the episode of The Walking Dead tonight. Or, well, Sunday night.
Nice.
Because on Monday for Fear Fest... Actually, Fear Fest is going on now. I'm sorry. Fear Fest actually started after the season premiere episode of The Walking Dead, which now includes The Talking Dead.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And if you missed the announcement, the Fear of the Walking Dead will be... Basically, I think what they're trying to do now is Fear of the Walking Dead will be in between The Walking Dead. So, you know, we have that, like, little three-month buy that we get between Walking Dead series, the first half and the second half of the season. They're going to try to jam in Fear of the Walking Dead. So I don't see that show lasting much longer.
Is this still a 2-hour episodes, or have they gone down to an hour?
They're all the first episode was 2 hours, and they're all going down to an hour. And I still don't understand how you can cram a 23-week season into basically 6 episodes.
No.
And try to do
2 hours.
Well, the worst part is on Fear the Walking Dead is they're trying too hard to make you care about these characters while at the same time trying to advance the storyline. And it doesn't work.
And it's not working. Okay.
No, it's not working because there's so much they're trying to cram in. The show is just too damn busy.
Yeah, that'll kill the show really quick. Yeah. Either you have not enough story and you have to drag it out, or there's too much and people's heads are going to blow off because they don't get... Like, it's just too much information.
Like... Well, and they also went, I think, one episode too much this last season. And I say that because I would have loved to see the first season or half season or whatever that is of Fear of the Walking Dead, I would have loved to have seen it ended when they're discussing Cobalt, Project Cobalt.
Oh, okay.
And then you could have made the escape from L.A. your second half premiere or your second whatever the heck it is. I think it is actually second half season premiere.
Okay.
So I'm just thinking. Oh yeah, there's a Resident Evil marathon on AMC right now though, which I think is very apropos for The Walking Dead.
Yes, it is. Nice.
Halloween is tomorrow, if you're wondering.
Halloween the movie
is Monday, and I didn't see what it is. But I like what they're doing this year with Fear Fest. I think they've actually got it down to a science now. Only took them a decade.
Yeah.
But they finally got the Fear Fest down to where it's just now they'll take the popular franchises and go all day with them. Nice. Which is how it should be.
You know, there's been a most recent discussion about Halloween 3. Mm-hmm. How it doesn't belong in the series because Michael Myers is not even in it. I mean, it doesn't tie into the other ones.
Well,
so,
but it does in a way.
Everyone was thinking it should have been a standalone. Well, no, not really. It doesn't really. They only mentioned Michael Myers, just mentioned him, that there's a serial killer that killed people on Halloween. That's all they said in the movie.
But 3 was a copycat. He was a copycat.
No. 3 had nothing to do with Michael Myers. It was all about this Halloween mask company.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must have been thinking about something else.
Yeah, a lot of the fans are saying that Halloween 3 should not be part of the series, should be taken out. It's a standalone movie, so take it out of the series. But apparently, what was the story? That they were trying to, in the series, somebody wanted to, like, get away from Michael Myers. I don't know. It's just a funny mess on the message boards. It's just funny.
Do we know when Ash versus the Evil Dead starts?
Oh yes! Oh my God! Hang on. I've been seeing trailers.
I'm dying.
Bruce Campbell's been going on about it.
I am dying for this because I am such a big Bruce Campbell fan. It's not even funny.
Yes, I've been seeing trailers. Have you seen all the trailers where they do blurbs?
I have. Oh my God, just come out already.
Oh, it says it's premiering on Halloween.
Ooh, I am shivering with anticipation.
This one looks really good.
Nice.
They've got Ash. He's kind of a cocky bastard.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his little sidekick who helps him out and keeps him, like, tries to keep him on the path. And then there's a cop who's seeing things, like she sees some
now,
of the deadites, and she doesn't know what it means. So
what is this? This is like 20 years supposed to be? The timeline of the show, I mean, is what, 20 years? 30 years after The Evil Dead, yeah.
Yeah. So he's back to working at S-Mart or something, and he's living in his trailer.
With a chainsaw for a hand.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. It looks so good. And then Lucy Lawless is in it. She's like a deadite fighter. We don't know. Nobody knows where she's come from, but she's a fighter. She knows about this stuff. So it looks like it's fun. Plus, Ash is like a pompous ass now. I mean, remember Army of Darkness where he was kind of a dick?
You know, yep.
That personified, so.
Which I like Lucy Lawless being in it because I don't know if you've ever followed her on Twitter, but she's something of an internet troll.
Oh, she is.
She is like a massive troll on the internet. Like, somebody will make a Xena joke, and she'll just rip them to fucking shreds, man. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to have to find her.
There's actually talk there might be a Xena reunion.
Really?
Yeah. There's been some pictures circulated on the interwebs that her and the co-star she used to have, they've been hanging out recently.
Yeah, because they've been doing the convention circuits. There's always a Xena convention somewhere.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was listening to a podcast, and I hope I can get a hold of these people, because this sounds interesting. There's something in my area called a 221B convention, 221B con.
221B, what is that?
What do you think? Have the gerbils go a little faster.
Come on, dude. I only got a few hours sleep.
It's a Sherlock Holmes convention.
Oh, shit. I should have known that.
Yeah, 221B. Yeah, it is. It's called 221BCon. They do a lot more than just Sherlock Holmes with the panels.
221 Baker Street. Damn it. Yep. I should know that.
No, it's 221B Baker Street.
Right, right.
Yeah, because remember, A is a shop.
Right. Sherlock Holmes. Oh, okay.
And they do a lot of different things there. There's actually a Lovecraftian panel.
Ooh, that would be good to see.
It's pretty interesting. Might not be able to go this year, but I'm shooting to go next year. Cause I think it's a little too late to go this year. They said they're capping their pre-registration at 1,000.
So. Wow.
And this thing is literally this convention is like 3 years old. And they're already capping registration at 1,000.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's very impressive. I'm telling you, there's a lot of...
It takes more than 5 years before a convention gets off like that.
Yeah. And I found this out, and I have to find it. And I got to go back and listen to that podcast that I heard it from. I think it was on Comcastro. There is actually the guys who did Z Nation and Sharknado. They did a version of Sherlock Holmes that involves dinosaurs.
Yeah!
So I have to go see. And from what I understand, they're going to be at this 221B con. That's the main reason why I brought it up, is because they're going to be at the 221B con talking about it.
Nice.
So, yeah. Convention season just around the corner. Actually, convention season never ends.
It's all year long.
Do you know how awesome it is to be watching Resident Evil while doing a podcast?
Oh, I know. It's perfect.
I just sit here and pop my head up real quick and just watch a zombie eat a guy and then get the zombie get his head blown off.
And Mila, is she kicking ass?
Oh, duh.
She's always kicking ass.
So anyways, I guess that's the opening.
And we insert music here.
Yes.
Death is a surprise party. Unless, of course, you're already dead on the inside.
This is Colin Chaos of Sugar Plum Suicide and Alucard's Demise, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Yeah. Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
And we're back for, it's, what was it, Netflix Horror Chill List?
Yes. Netflix and chill, baby. Netflix and chill.
I Netflix 24/7. I just,
so do I.
Because we have Netflix streaming in every room of our house, so we're always watching Netflix. And of course, my list covers a wide range of horror, and horror.
Yeah. And my whole thing is, I have it on my Xbox, I have it on my television, I have it on my computer, and my phone.
And your phone.
And my Roku.
And the Roku, yeah. Phone. Yeah, I've got it, my PlayStation, Kindle, we've got it in our living room, and my sister has it in her bedroom on Wii.
On the Wii. So. Yeah, you need on an Wii. You need an Xbox, because now that I've got Tomb Raider, you need an Xbox so we can play Tomb Raider. But anyways, so I gotta launch a complaint. I gotta launch a complaint about Netflix, and that is, dude, if you're gonna have one movie from a franchise, have the entire franchise.
Oh, I know.
Do you know how upset I am that all I can find on Netflix is Silence of the Lambs? Can't find Red Dragon. Can't find Hannibal. Can't find Manhunter. I refuse to acknowledge the existence of Hannibal Rising.
Oh, because that's the one I want to see.
It's awful. Do not ever see Hannibal Rising. Sure. It is awful. It is boring. It is just absolutely dreadful to watch.
Okay. Well, they did have Manhunter on for quite a long time. I guess they took it off because that's when I finally got to see Manhunter, which, in my opinion, is way better than
Red Dragon.
Oh, shoot. Red Dragon. Yeah.
See, I'm with you on that because to me, Manhunter takes out a lot of the melodramatic garbage that's in Red Dragon. It gets to the point.
Yes. It does. And Hannibal is a little meaner.
Oh, absolutely. I like him. Who is that? I can't remember that guy's name. Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, yes. He makes Hannibal meaner. He's not very charming. He's not so, subtle. He is like a sledgehammer. He's like, and I think that's how Hannibal should be.
I agree with you.
I mean, I love what Anthony Hopkins does because the subtle version of Hannibal, and he's kind of charming too to get his way. It's nice, but damn! After watching Manhunter, I'm like, Brian Cox needs to be the new Hannibal.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing. I mean, when we pick up Manhunter, it's okay. I can understand where you could take the Hopkins Hannibal at the beginning of Red Dragon, because it's before he goes to jail. So he needs to be suave, and he needs to be, charming. But then cut it to Brian Cox's version of Hannibal after he's been in jail. Because if you think about it, I mean, he's been screwed with, Chilton is a jackass. And I kind of liked that, too, in Manhunter, that we didn't get much of Chilton.
Yeah, but we got a lot of Chilton in Red Dragon. What was it? In Silence of the Lambs. Oh. Or not Silence of the Lambs. Oh, shoot.
Well, that's where we were supposed to get a lot of Chilton, was Silence of the Lambs.
He was, because it was the next one. Was it Red Dragon?
No, Red Dragon, the way it goes, it's Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, and then Hannibal.
Okay.
That's the way the book goes.
Yeah, but the movies are back kind of backwards. So.
Yeah, the movies went 2-1-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I think it was 2-3-1, because didn't Hannibal come out before Red Dragon?
Yes, that's right.
So it was 2-3-1.
Red Dragon is 3, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we noticed in Chilton, he was a pompous dick. He was a bit afraid of Hannibal, but he had the power and he was letting Hannibal know that he was in charge and Hannibal was under his will.
Yeah.
But where Manhunter, Chilton was way different.
Chilton was almost non-existent, Manhunter.
Yeah, he was really non-existent. He was more afraid, and he kept out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I think because you also got to remember the timeline of this. I mean, this was before Chilton actually realized the monetary potential having Hannibal Lecter in his prison could bring him. And because they didn't really, because this was at the beginning, they didn't really know how to handle it. But if we took, I think though, if we took a draft, and I know we're getting way off topic here, but if we took a draft of those two movies, Red Dragon and Manhunter, to make the perfect version of Red Dragon, I would take Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter. I would take William Peterson as
Will Graham.
Yep, as Will Graham. But I would take Harvey Keitel as the inspector. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
I would take Harvey Keitel over the guy who played it in Manhunter, because it has nothing to. I don't think he played it badly. I just think he was too caring. You know what I mean? When Harvey Keitel did it, it was more of, "We got to have you. I'm going to do anything in my damn power to get you to come back and look this case." With all due respect to Ralph Fiennes, the guy who did it in Manhunter was a better Francis Dollarhyde.
Yes, he was.
He was a lot creepier.
What was his name? Noonan.
Yeah, Noonan. Oh. He did a few other ones, didn't he?
His last name was Noonan, yeah.
He did a few other horror movies, if I'm not mistaken.
He was in the Monster Squad as Frankenstein.
That's right, he was.
Monster. He was the monster.
And I watched that the other night, by the way. Monster Squad is on Netflix.
Yes, it is. I keep watching that. That's on my list.
It's so awesome. That movie is so great. It really is. It's like, one of the kids in there looks like Fred Savage, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not Fred Savage.
Before Fred Savage.
I'm sitting there going for just for a couple of minutes going, dude, is that the kid from The Princess Bride? And I'm just like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. But that was cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the list, I can't stop watching The Relic.
That's a great movie.
We just watched it last night, but that's like a constant movie I will go and watch. It's just, it's kind of a weird science-y, because it's not supernatural. It's all science-based about this virus that's on these plant leaves from Brazil. It mutates whatever animal eats it. So in this virus, it has all these different DNAs of all these animals and insects. So that's kind of weird. And how it kills it, it cleanly severs the head off the neck and punches through the skull and eats the hypothalamus. I mean, that's just brilliant.
Nice. But
if there's no more hypothalamus, it's going to die. So yeah.
Yes. For me, my number one movie on Netflix is American Psycho.
Yeah.
I love watching American Psycho. And they actually have American Mary is on there too, which was the low-budget alleged sequel to American Psycho. But I love America. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, I really liked it because she was... It just, her story was really fascinating. She's a medical student trying to, you know, become a doctor, a surgeon, and her professor date rapes her, date drug rapes her, and she kind of twists, you know, her brain twists a little, and she can't go back to school because of her professor, and she starts doing these on the side surgeries for, modifications for the scarring and modification crowd,
right?
So, and she gets money that way,
which is how we all want to get money.
Yeah, so, do scarring and modification surgeries on people and get paid a lot of money for it. Yes, but you're not really a doctor. That's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Oh man,
and what's her name? Isabel. Isabel is just brilliant as Mary. It's just, that's a twisted movie. I really like it.
Another one that I want to complain about is the Chucky franchise.
How can you not now?
How can you not have all the Child's Play movies on freaking Netflix?
No. They recently got Curse of Chucky, which is not a remake. Let me put that out. It was advertised as a remake, but it's not. It falls into the storyline. I think it's supposed to sit between 2 and 3 somewhere.
Well, they all were supposed to be before Bride of Chucky, so.
Yeah. But it was really neat how they go into the background of Charles Lee Ray a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before he died, before he ended up in Chicago and put in the doll. So they did the background story about that. And Brad Dourif's daughter is in this movie as the main character, which was really cool. I thought that was really cool. So she's talking to her dad, who's in Chucky.
Speaking of, at least they have the whole thing. And we talked about this in the open. Thank goodness Netflix has all of American Horror Story and all of The Walking Dead. Okay, this is a horror podcast, so we have to mention that. And I am so happy because I get to go back and watch Murder House. And
yes,
I am one of the few that thought Coven was actually underrated.
Yes, I thought so too.
I thought Coven was actually better than most people give it credit for. Now, Asylum is still horrible. And every time I see season 2, I just cringe. But I thought Coven, I did. I thought Coven was very underrated, with the exception of the sex with the demon bull thing, whatever the hell that was.
Oh my god, that was a wild scene.
It was still great. But, I mean, you're just sitting there going, what the fuck?
That's what I said. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Yes. And then the next day she's all broken up because I guess he was very, very rough.
She had sex with a demon bull. I mean, she had sex with a demon bull, for crying out loud. You just don't walk out that way. iZombie is on there too. The first season of iZombie, which I still haven't really fully gotten around to see yet, but everybody is telling me, look, if you want a good laugh, iZombie is one of those things that's a little bit better than Z Nation as far as comedy goes. So I'm gonna give iZombie a chance.
Okay, but the thing is, I got a little bored with the character, the main character, because she's such a poor me. Oh my god,
I'm dead. Wow.
That just got friggin' annoying, and it's still too much like True Calling. It bugs the hell out of me, but. It is pretty interesting. After she eats a brain of someone who's deceased, she takes on their characteristics and has their memories. So it is different. It is kind of funny because she changes. Her personality changes with every brain she eats. So that's kind of neat.
And
three episodes, she's just like, oh, God, my life sucks. Oh, my God, I am screwed. Oh, God.
But you also have to realize... Yeah, it's true. But you also have to realize that it's a CW thing. So you knew that was coming in the first three episodes to begin with, because it's CW. And it's angsty teenagers. That's who the CW caters to, angsty teenagers.
Yeah.
Except Heart of Dixie, which was awful. If we never can bring Heart of Dixie up again.
I don't even bother watching it.
Oh, they got canceled last year.
Don't watch it. No.
It got canceled.
Thank you.
Hey, Lazarus Effect. Thank you. The Lazarus Effect is on Netflix.
Yes, I watched it the other day, but I also watched it in the theaters first. I did too. Scarier in the theaters.
It was.
Yeah.
Probably because we were surrounded by people that don't really get horror films, so you had 10 people clinging on to you?
Actually, I had the theater by myself.
See?
That was even better.
And that's why I didn't go this weekend to see... Crimson Peak.
Yeah, I had to work. I missed it.
I don't want to go this weekend anyways, because, you know, it's all the... It's going to be packed with a bunch of 20-something females. That's only there for Tom Hiddleston!
And they're all on their fucking phones.
I know.
I'm getting pissed on that.
I know. That's why I'm going... That's why I'm going to end up going on a Wednesday.
Tweeting. Yeah. Yeah, go during the week at a late-night show, away from the crowd. I usually get the theater to myself, or there's one or two other people in there. So it's a lot better than going on opening weekend.
Yeah, because, like I said, I don't want to be around the 20-year-olds that are just there for Hiddles.
Yeah.
Although Tom Hiddleston is a very attractive man. I will say that. I got one for you.
The Saw movies.
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, the Saw movies.
Saw movies. They're on Netflix.
Which is interesting.
They don't have all of them. They don't have all of them, but they have like 1, 2, and 3, I believe.
Yeah, because they don't have 4, 5, and 6, which does kind of piss me off a little bit. But
yeah,
at Creepy Hollow this weekend, last weekend, I should say, one of the stars from Saw 3, 4, and I think 5, he's ended up killed off in 5, was actually out there.
Yeah, we talked about that. Costas Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out there signing autographs and having fun this past weekend. Thought I'd bring that up. And that's another thing. I wish they had the entire series. I wish a lot of them, like the, you know, and it's not horror, but the Naked Gun franchise, I wish they only have 33 1/3. Like, they don't have, you know, the second Naked Gun or the first Naked Gun, which pisses me off a bit, because I love that franchise. Yes, I know. Yeah, no. OJ's in prison.
Again?
Yeah. Hey, but do you know what else, so horrors-wise, you know what else pisses me off is the Tremors franchise. They don't have the entire Tremors franchise either.
No, now they have number 5.
They do, which was actually really great.
It was funny. We find out Bert has a son.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Honestly, though, I thought Tremors 5 was the best since the first Tremors film, and you're talking to somebody who really doesn't give sequels a lot of credit. So,
yeah. No, I really liked Tremors 5. It was, you find out that... the whatever it is they originated from Africa.
Yes.
That's where they originated. And apparently in Africa, everything's mutated. So these new versions of ass blasters and, well, the graboids are bigger and they're slimier, because what they do is they spit up the stomach bile to eat through the dirt. And the ass blasters, they look like a mutated version of a predator. You know, the face claws and everything. It's just weird.
Yep. The Babadook is on Netflix.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love that movie.
Yes. And we all know, a lot of people love The Babadook. And unfortunately, that means in this day and age, Facebook has kind of killed the awesomeness of that movie. We understand.
Yeah.
But it's still great to see The Babadook on.
That's a different story, where the Babadook really works on the parents. I mean, the kids are the first to know about what's going on, but then it works on the parents to get the parents to kill the kids. It's just, wow.
Yeah.
That's a twist.
Hey, it's not a horror series per se. It's more of a drama series, but I love it. I'm absolutely in love with it. It's called Bloodlines. Now, we've talked about this on a previous podcast, but Bloodlines follows this family. The parents own a hotel, and the son, one of the sons, is actually a detective. And one of the other sons is kind of, they got three kids, basically they got four kids. They have one daughter who's kind of slutty. I'm sorry, but you can say that. Because the first scene we see her in, she's screwing someone married in the back seat of a car. And she's 25 years old. So, you know.
Okay.
Then you have another one that's kind of a fun-loving one that occasionally helps out. One of the kids is a detective, the Rayburn family, that is. One of the sons is a detective who stayed in the Florida Keys where the hotel is. And then you got another one that's basically a loser. And
there always is one in the family.
Yeah. To make a long story short, they get involved in a murder mystery, and in the end, it's come to find out that the loser son has done a few other things not so kosher, and they end up killing him.
Oh.
And then you have the cover-up.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's interesting, and the season ended. I think the next season's coming out next year. But the season ended with basically the entire family is no longer under investigation. You know, they're pretty much ruling it an accidental death. Until ... we come to find out that the loser son has some kids.
Oh no.
And one of the last scenes of the show, of the season, was the son walking up to Detective Rayburn going, "I'm here to find out what happened to my dad."
Oh, what an ending.
So watch that. It's a little slow in the beginning. I'm gonna warn you now, it's a little slow. But most Netflix shows, I have noticed this, most Netflix shows are slow to get off the ground. But once you get past all the, these are characters that you'll find a favorite quickly with these characters. I mean, it is a great show. It's on Netflix. It's been on Netflix for almost a year now. We're waiting on season mm-hmm. two, but it is absolutely outstanding. It's almost as good. I put the, Netflix does the American version of House of Cards, which I think is probably the best, thing to watch on Netflix, because Kevin Spacey is amazing.
Yeah.
This would be number two on my list of the top five best things to watch on Netflix. It's better than Orange is the New Black. It's better than, well, anything was better than their, they're trying to revive Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, jeez.
It was awful. And I'm sorry, but Bryan Cranston has now been... I'll never think of him as Malcolm's dad ever again.
No.
Which is sad, because
He's hit a whole new level with that, yeah.
Which is weird, because Bryan Cranston actually got a start as a comedic actor.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. That basically, you know, he was mostly a comedic actor. Now, he had, I mean, he was, you know, one of his first guest starring appearances was Chips.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, he was on Chips.
Wow. Yeah. So. I've been watching Salem. Well, I'm trying to watch Salem.
Mm-hmm.
About the, you know, the Salem witches and all that. It is weird.
Yes.
It's kind of gross, too. Ugh.
It is.
Because the witches in Salem, they use frogs and spit and blood and
yes.
and fluids, and it's just, it's kind of disgusting.
But it's fun to watch.
I think I'm on the third episode, because I had to rewatch one because I thought I missed all the stuff. So that's been weird for me.
Is that the one that's also, is that on television as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a few episodes
of that. I think they have season one on Netflix. That's what I'm trying to get through.
Ah, because they're right now, I think they're up to season three on television.
Yeah.
And it's Witch War.
Yes.
Witch's War or something like that.
Right.
So I guess all the witches weird. In Salem are at war with each other or something. I don't know. I really haven't paid much of attention to it. So
it's kind of rough, because they really set it into the 1600s. I mean, it's wow. it seems so like real, the real hardships of them living in this Providence and the harsh rules of this town. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't be able to live there. I wouldn't be able to live there. I'd be killed like the first day. So, it's hard.
But yeah, that's a lot of what we can find on Netflix. Obviously, some of the greatest movies of all time can be found on Netflix. Speaking of which, I need to launch another complaint here.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with horror, but I need to launch a complaint.
Alright.
I watched what some people consider to be the finest silent film of all time, A Trip to the Moon. You know, a little 15
minute. Oh, yeah, I watched both those versions.
Were you not?
Yeah.
Livid with what Netflix did to it.
Which part did they?
The music.
Because they had the original. Oh, I know.
It was this, and I'm an EDM fan. It was this bullshit hip-hop EDM crap going on this entire time in the background. I didn't mind that they colorized it, because I think Ted Turner colorized it, you know, 30 years ago. But I minded that garbage music in the background.
Yeah, I was not happy with the music.
And my ultimate fantasy.
And then they also put on the original one, which doesn't have that music. It has the original orchestra stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the scene that is my ultimate fantasy is on right now. multiple Jovoviches in the same room at the same time. Anyways.
Oh, all right.
Anyways. Sorry about that. I need a cold shower.
Did I hear a thump under that table?
My hands are above the table, I swear. Lord. That's enough to make a man find religion right there. Oh, goodness.
And insert music here.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon. And stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we go back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Jules Marie, and you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Save me from this. reality we both share. Like a ghost, I follow you anywhere.
Stay scary for me, yeah. I'm the king of acts of God really stick it in and break it off, don't they?
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
Guess what has been confirmed for 2016?
What has been confirmed other than Twin Peaks?
Jeepers Creepers 3.
What? No.
Yes. Sweet. I have several different websites: Bloody Disgusting, Fangoria, Horror Film Central, iHorror.com. They all say the same thing. 2016 is Jeepers Creepers 3. Victor Salva's back to direct it. Jonathan Breck as the Creeper has been confirmed. They're even doing Sergeant Tubbs from the second one. He's going to be in this one.
Nice.
Now, the story, it's kind of mixed. Nobody can give a specific story, because before, when it was rumors, they were saying the story was going to be about, what's her name? Derry's sister. She has a son.
Mm-hmm.
And they run into the Creeper. That was the story before. The main thing that they do have is that it is going to be 23 years after the last one. So that's all they can confirm. But, you know, everybody is having a problem with Victor Salva being a director again, because, you know, we all know he's a registered sex offender who loved kids too much. So,
just
I mean, I have a problem with it too, but director-wise, he knows his stuff.
That's true. So, that's awesome, though.
I mean, I don't like that he is a registered sex offender. I mean, that does bug me. But damn, he is a good director. So we'll see if, because there's also a possibility that, you know, after this film is made, that it's going to be not seen. It could possibly be not seen because of the issues with Victor Salva. I don't know. But for now, it has been confirmed. 2016, we will see Jeepers Creepers 3.
Sweet. Also, released 90 years ago. This week is the 90th anniversary of this. One of the most controversial films of its time. And it was one of the original horror films. Do you remember what it is?
Give me a hint. Because there's a lot of them.
Oh, no. This one's actually very famous. The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people forgot. It was very controversial back in 1925.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, when the film was first released, moviegoers actually fainted.
I believe
at
it.
What they were seeing. So, you know, this really popularized this is why we love Phantom of the Opera so much, is because it popularized horror.
Yeah.
Because I believe it.
And
It predated Nosferatu, didn't it?
Yes, I believe. Yes, because didn't Nosferatu come out in 1930s?
I think it was late twenties, early thirties. Because it was one of the last silent films. Was Nosferatu?
Right. 1922. Nope. Nosferatu is 1922. Phantom of the Opera was 1925. Okay.
Phantom of the Opera, 1925. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the early horror films, I think a lot of people forget this, and we need to go back and find these silent horror films and maybe do a list later in the year. But of course, there was Frankenstein in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Do you remember who did those?
Ooh.
Who directed them?
No.
Thomas Edison.
Edison, that's right.
Yeah, Thomas Edison. Because, I mean, you got to think about, though, that's when the technology was absolutely brand new. Nobody had a lot of things. Other ones, 1920s horror films, and we're definitely going to get this going. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. That's, and if you've ever seen the original 1923 version of that, it's absolutely outstanding. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Caligari, yes. Yeah. That's on Netflix right now, too.
That is, yes. You know, so I think a lot of people forget about that. And the reason why I asked if it did predate, because technically it does predate Nosferatu, not in the movie version, but Gaston Leroux.
The book.
Yeah, Gaston Leroux actually wrote it in 1910, Le Fantôme de l'Opéra.
That's right.
Which is literally translated Phantom of the Opera. But I remember that because the mask. Do you remember what happens when Christine tears off Eric's mask in the 20s version? I mean, Eric's face is awful. It's worse. It's actually scarier to me. It's scarier than any modern remake.
Yes. Well, and then it was Lon Chaney. He did his own makeup.
Yeah, and see, so that's...
He knew how to be scary, even for then.
Yeah. And a couple of things I loved about it, though, is Lon Chaney painted his eye sockets black, which gave him that skull impression. But the nose. This is before modern CGI and modern makeup. Do you know how he did his nose?
No.
He had a wire. He actually pierced his nose and put a wire through it.
No way.
Yeah.
Ew.
He pulled the tip of his nose up with wire, pinning it into place. That elongated his, and then enlarged his nostrils with black paint.
Ew. Wow. Yeah, he was hardcore for then.
And for those of you who don't realize, Lon Chaney Sr. was actually a very attractive actor.
Yes, he was.
The for those of you who want a little bit more information, the Phantom's Lair and the Paris Opera House. I'm trying to remember where those were. Oh, but they are. I think they're actually still exist.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, jeez, I can't remember who it was, but Mary Philbin was actually Christine. Mm-hmm. In the movie.
Right.
Rupert Julian was the director of that movie. But it is now 90 years old.
Wow. That is practically ancient.
Yes. So, you know, they don't make them like they used to.
No. I'm even for the time, even now, watching one of those silent films, it's just amazing with what they could do with filmmaking.
Yes. Yes, it is. I thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay. Indiegogo.com, the Supernatural Fandom, the movie, has been fully funded. In fact, Yay. They're 180% overfunded. They raised $91,000. So we will soon be seeing, well, hopefully we'll be soon seeing this movie come out, all about Supernatural fandom.
You know what I would like to see? And I hope somebody does this, and if I had the connections, I would do it. I would like to see a documentary made on the life of professional cosplayers.
Now that would be a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, because I follow a few of them on Twitter. Obviously, the most famous is Vampy Bit Me. She's a professional model and professional cosplayer, and literally goes around the world and does. I mean, literally that's really the living is cosplay.
Mm-hmm. You can make a lot of money from it now.
You really can. And I would like to see that cosplay the movie. I would like to see somebody do a documentary just on cosplay.
Yeah, because for conventions for these cosplayers, a lot of these cosplayers are paid to go to conventions, and they pay quite a bit of money.
Well, yeah, and she mentioned she went to the San Diego Comic Con this year.
Big money maker.
That's some big money, and then she does a lot of Comic Cons over in Asia.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, you're talking a ton of money, Especially, you know, the Japanese Comic Cons and the Korean Comic Cons. You know, that's some big money, because that's where a lot of them are made.
And you have a lot of networking you can do there too. I mean, everybody goes to these, so you can get hooked up with some pretty big names.
Yes, you can. So mm-hmm. We should think about doing a convention one year.
Yeah, I mean, we need to go to San Diego Comic Con. That's the place to be.
Oh! Because the next time we do a podcast, and I'm going to bring out my nerd, if I can bring out my nerdiness for a minute. The next time we do a podcast, it will be after the date. Do you know what Wednesday is?
Wednesday.
The date of Wednesday. Do you know what it is?
What's October 21st?
October 21st. 2015. The date Marty McFly goes back to the future.
Oh, that's right. That's been all over the net.
Yes. So forget the memes that you've heard. Marty McFly goes back to the future October 21st, 2015, where the Cubs win the World Series, which, oh, by the way, the Cubs are literally 8 wins away from doing. we had hoverboards and a whole bunch of other stuff we don't have, but I have my, Back to the Future shirt. I'm wearing it on Wednesday.
Nice.
With my DeLorean that says 88 miles an hour on it. The talk of Comic Cons, and the main reason why I brought it up was the talk of Comic Cons got me thinking about last week's New York Comic Con. Where literally the most awesome thing happened. They took 1,500 bottles of Pepsi Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yes, Pepsi Perfect, kids. Which is the Pepsi in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And gave it to 1,500 people who dressed up like Marty McFly.
1,500 people as Marty McFly?
Yeah. Here's the awesome part. There's 6,000 more bottles of Pepsi Perfect out there. And you can get your hands on one. Yeah, you can get your hands on one. On October 21st, Pepsi will be selling limited edition bottles of Pepsi Perfect for $20.15.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So, I saw that, too.
If you got a spare 20 laying around, you can get a Pepsi Perfect. I just wanted to throw that in there because that's my nerd coming out. But I love it. I love it.
That's awesome.
It is so awesome.
It's awesome.
What else is there?
Now I want a Pepsi.
I just had a Coke.
Okay.
So I think that's going to do it.
Yeah, I think. We wrap this up for this week.
Yep. All right. Well, say goodnight, Gracie.
Stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And let me give you some advice. When you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rum!
Is he back home? I'm a murderer. I'm a freak. But here, among the monsters, I'm normal. I like it here. I want to stay.
Oh, great, Valium. Not only will we be able to get to sleep, but if we're attacked in the middle of the night, we won't even care.